heard how it went down. Now, time to sum it all up. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Recap everything you need to know about this game right now. Now, here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise!
Justin Garcia.
Yeah!
The regular season home slate of games comes to an end tonight as the Bucks put up a fight, a shorthanded group in the first half, giving the Memphis Grizzlies all they could handle in this one. And big games tonight from Lindell Wigginton, from Jay Crowder, Goran Dragic as well, but in the end, just too much firepower from the Memphis Grizzlies and some extra motivation from these Memphis Grizzlies as well, who approached this game knowing they could still lock up the two seed without a win tonight. But it's the same conversation we had Wednesday night when the Bucks came into this very building knowing it's as simple as this: beat the Chicago Bulls and you will be the one seed throughout the course of the playoffs in the East, and if you reach the finals, home court advantage there as well. So don't put this off. Don't look for help from other teams. Just take care of business and win that game when you can. And that's what we saw in the second half on Wednesday. The Memphis Grizzlies essentially do the same to the Bucks tonight, despite a valiant effort. Bucks taking a one-point lead into halftime, but just too much Jaren Jackson Jr. and the rest of the Grizzlies in the second half as Memphis wins this one. And now Bucks head to Toronto to wrap up the regular season. Sunday, noon tip-off Central Time in Toronto between the Bucks and the Raptors. We will take a closer look at that game and why it's going to be interesting for both teams, maybe even advantage Bucks more so than Raptors, and take a look at the playoff picture in the East, because as we just mentioned, not only do we know who the 10 teams are, we know where they are seated. So it all comes down to who comes out of the play-in tournament, and we will almost know who the Bucks' first-round opponent will be. We'll take a look at all of that and take your thoughts after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Every day, we fight to preserve magnificent places and wildlife. We are Earth Justice, a national legal nonprofit fighting for your right to a healthy environment. Every day, we fight to advance clean energy. We are Earth Justice, 135-plus lawyers representing clients free of charge. Every day, we fight to combat climate change. We are Earth Justice, and we're here because, now more than ever, the Earth needs a good lawyer. Earth Justice uses the power of law to ensure our planet and its inhabitants have a future. No one fights more cases on the environment than Earth Justice. And we win almost every time. Because when we win, the air and water are cleaner, food systems are safer, and public lands are preserved. And we win because these are fights we cannot lose. Want to join us in this fight? The time is now. Go to earthjustice.org today. That's earthjustice.org.
Away with the rebound, racing off into the front court. It's Beauchamp, weaves his way down low. Nice dish late to Thanasis, who lays it off the glass. And the Bucks, a 13-4 lead out of the gates to start this one.
Nice start to this game for the Bucks, and really a strong first half as they took a one-point lead into halftime. Not only that, they made 15 first-half threes and scored 72 points in that first half despite the absence of Giannis, of Chris Middleton, of Drew Holiday, of Brooke Lopez, of Grayson Allen, no Pat Connaughton, and Joe Ingles and Bobby Portis not listed on the injury report, but they were out of this game as well. So a lot of firepower out of the lineup for the Bucks against a Memphis Grizzlies team with still something on the line and a reason to win this game. You ultimately saw that come to fruition in the final 24 minutes as Memphis wins this one 137-114 behind a big game from Jaren Jackson Jr. I do want to talk a little bit about Jaren Jackson Jr., a little more about Jaren Jackson Jr. in just a little bit, but a chance to hear from you, not so much about this game, but this season, as just one game remains in the regular season. 81 of the 82 are in the books. Mission accomplished for the Bucks, having wrapped up the one seed on Wednesday. And now we know what the playoff picture looks like, or the postseason picture looks like, with the play-in tournament all set and 1 through 6 locked into place as well. 800-990-3776 is the talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. And let's just start there with the play-in tournament. So again, 1 through 5 was already locked into place tonight. Coming into tonight, I should say. We knew the Bucks were going to be the 1 seed. We knew the Boston Celtics were the 2 seed. You knew Philadelphia was going to be the 3 seed. And we also knew 4 and 5 were set up with the Cleveland Cavaliers and the New York Knicks as your 5 seed. So all of that was in place. Now we were just waiting to see what is the play-in tournament going to look like and who's going to grab the 6 seed as well. So that could have been the Miami Heat. It could have been the Brooklyn Nets. The numbers were always on the Brooklyn Nets side. That's exactly what we saw happen tonight. So we do know this. The 4 versus 5, as mentioned, is going to be the Cavaliers and the Knicks. We assume the Bucks are going to beat the 8 seed in the Eastern Conference. Assumptions can always be a dangerous thing, but this is a pretty strong assumption to say the Bucks will win that first-round matchup and move on to the second round. That means whoever wins that Cavaliers-Knicks series is who you're going to face in the second round of the playoffs. I've said for weeks now, I don't think any of us should take the Cavaliers lightly. By the numbers, the Cleveland Cavaliers have been one of the best teams in basketball all season long. In the case of the Bucks and the 76ers specifically, we really point to January as when things really started to turn around. For Philly, it was really December. But for the Bucks, January 23rd was when they really took off. But really, the month of January as a whole is when the Bucks started to round into shape. It was a tough month of December. 10 of your 15 games were on the road, and you never had any extended home stays. It was always one-off home games, including a brutal 5-game stretch that included a trip to Cleveland to take on the Cavaliers. So from this calendar year flipping to 2023 onward, you feel pretty strongly about what you've seen from the Bucks. But all season long, these Cleveland Cavaliers have been a very, very good team, and it's a much different team than the Cavaliers team that was in the play-in tournament a season ago and ultimately just couldn't match some of the firepower you saw from the Brooklyn Nets, losing 2 games in the play-in tournament, the first to the Brooklyn Nets and then to the Atlanta Hawks, ultimately missing out on the postseason. They have size in a guy like Jared Allen, in a guy like Evan Mobley. They have a guy, Donovan Mitchell, who has had some big postseason games throughout his career, specifically in that bubble run with the Utah Jazz, and Darius Garland starting to come into his own as well. So this is a very, very good Cleveland Cavaliers team, and I don't think we can dismiss Cleveland as this will be an easy matchup for the Bucks. That being said, looking at a line that features either the Cavaliers or the New York Knicks is much different from staring across at either the Boston Celtics or the Philadelphia 76ers if you were in that 2-3 line. And that is the major advantage the Bucks have scored now with this one seed in the playoffs. If you look at the path for all of these teams, in the case of the 76ers, the Brooklyn Nets will be their opponent in that 3-6 matchup. The 76ers should win that series rather easily in terms of the amount of games played. I would venture to guess it'll probably be a 5-game series, if not a sweep. But the Brooklyn Nets are not the type of team that is going to be fun to play for the personnel the 76ers have. They are a young, athletic team loaded with wings that can defend you and shoot the basketball. It is filled with 3-and-D players, and we've seen those types of teams give the 76ers problems. Getting into the lane, pulling Joel Embiid out of there and making him play on the perimeter. So Philadelphia, we would all expect to win that series, perhaps convincingly in terms of the way the series looked, 4-1, 4-0, whatever it is. But I don't think that's going to be a fun series, and those will be competitive games. For the Boston Celtics, the path that they would have, a first-round matchup that is likely going to be the Miami Heat. Now, there's the caveat with the play-in tournament and the differences between finishing first and finishing second. When you finish second, you're going to know who your opponent is Tuesday night. So as I mentioned, all 30 teams in the league will play Sunday. It's staggered beginning at noon and ends early afternoon. So we'll know all of the seeding by the time the afternoon rolls around. All 30 teams play Sunday. The day off is Monday, and then the play-in tournament begins on Tuesday. Tuesday will be the 7-8 matchups in both conferences. So in the East, we know that's the Heat and the Hawks. Whoever wins that game is who the Boston Celtics will play in the first round. So let's look at the Boston Celtics path. Let's say the Miami Heat win that game, which at this point I think is a strong assumption. The path to the finals for the Boston Celtics would be Miami Heat with home court advantage. Very similar to what we said about that matchup with the 76ers and the Brooklyn Nets. You would anticipate Boston to win that series rather easily, again, in terms of the games required. But the Miami Heat are the type of team you don't necessarily love seeing in the postseason. We experienced it on both ends of the spectrum as Bucks fans in consecutive years. You go from that series where they're going to grind you down defensively, try to slow down the pace of the game, into a series with the Boston Celtics where Boston did dominate that series in the regular season, winning three of the four games. But the other thing that stood out is there was no answer for Joel Embiid. And as we mentioned on this program a number of times, there is not a single team in the league that has an answer for Joel Embiid. But in the case of the Boston Celtics, you are really relying on the health of Robert Williams to give you some more size to throw out there. So your path to the finals, if you're the Boston Celtics, is potentially Miami, Philadelphia, Milwaukee. In the case of the Philadelphia 76ers, it is Brooklyn, potentially Boston, Milwaukee. And if you're the Bucks, it is either the Cavaliers or the Knicks in the second round, and we would assume a winner between the Celtics and the 76ers in the conference finals, whereas you could draw any of those four teams in the play-in tournament. We said Miami's not fun to play. You could get the Miami Heat in the first round. It could be the Atlanta Hawks. It could be the Toronto Raptors. It could be the Chicago Bulls. All teams the Bucks have played recently in the postseason, and in the case of all but the Hawks, all teams the Bucks have played in the first round somewhat recently here in the postseason. 800-990-3776 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Take another peek at the NBA scoreboard and to see if we have any more clarity on what's going on in the Western Conference. Speaking of the West, it is not Bucks related, but one of the bigger stories we have seen here in recent weeks in the NBA took place in Dallas earlier tonight. We'll fill you in on the details after this on Bucks Talk.
Stick around. Bucks Talk continues next. Presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. This is Bucks Talk.
Bucks at 55%, the Grizzlies at 70%, but the Bucks have hit three three-pointers. Here's a three-pointer, and again, Jay Crowder connects from the bonus sphere. Jay Crowder has been unconscious here in this first half.
Jay Crowder, one of the big positives in this game tonight, as really this last week from Jay Crowder, to say it's been very encouraging is an understatement, and I've talked about this on a couple of other shows, but the similarities between Jay Crowder and P.J. Tucker were going to be very difficult to avoid, as it was. I think we all wanted to label Jay Crowder as the next P.J. Tucker at the time of the acquisition, It was very similar in how it went down as well. The package centered around what you gave up, the package to get P.J. Tucker years ago, 2 years ago, built around 4 second-round draft picks. You obviously had your matching salary, but second-round picks. The package to bring in Jay Crowder, matching salary and 5 second-round draft picks. The playoff experience both of these players have. The fact that they both have played for the Miami Heat, you can lump in there as well. All of these things pointed to, hey, there's some similarities here. Now, there are a lot of differences in terms of the personnel you're going to ask them to defend. Jay Crowder is not going to be a small ball five for the Bucks, but we've started to see more and more, especially defensively, from Jay Crowder and what he brings you. And, oh, by the way, speaking of those similarities, very, very early into P.J. Tucker's tenure here in Milwaukee, remember, he suffered that calf injury. I can't remember if it was a calf or a hamstring injury, but he suffered that injury very, very early into his time here. And that kind of slowed down his ramp-up period. The Bucks were being very, very cautious with him, limiting his minutes. Some of the games that he did not play in, the games he did play, the minutes right around 20, sometimes even less than 20 minutes. And even P.J. Tucker himself said he was frustrated with the on-ramp process and how long it took for the Bucks to basically take the training wheels off, but acknowledged, look, it was, in hindsight, probably the best thing for me to make sure I was fully optimized and ready to go for the postseason. When you compare the minutes P.J. Tucker played in the regular season for the Bucks versus Jay Crowder, especially right around the time of acquisition, it is very, very similar. And you factor in Jay Crowder experiencing an injury that really delayed his ramp-up process as well, where he played a handful of games, then he missed a handful of games, then he played a handful of games again. I believe it was 10 games that he played right off the bat, then missed a few, then played 6 or so games, then missed a couple, but now he's back. And seemingly, it appears, is ready to go. Very, very similar to how it happened with P.J. Tucker as well. You saw how much you could rely on P.J. Tucker in the postseason and how that changed the Bucks' defense. Regular season games are much different than playoff games, but we have seen now for the last 4 or so games glimpses of what Jay Crowder is going to give you defensively on the perimeter. You go back to that game against the 76ers. Go back to the game against the Washington Wizards as well on that back-to-back. And the versatility that Jay Crowder gives you, that's the biggest thing that P.J. Tucker brought. He allowed you to play differently. He allowed you to play different personnel groups, and he had that versatility where he could defend 1 through 5. Jay Crowder can't defend 1 through 5, but he can defend most 1 through 4s, or a lot of 1 through 4s. And those 2 games specifically, you saw the defensive versatility, the loose balls he was getting to, the deflected passes, and in a switching style defense where you had Drew Holiday, Drew Holiday, Jay Crowder, Chris Middleton, Giannis all on the floor together, switching on the perimeter. Go back to that Wizards game where you saw a couple of sequences where you think you shake Drew Holiday, you're trying to set some screens to get loose from him, and there's Jay Crowder waiting on the switch. He's the one that picks you up. You try to pass out of that switch, and there's Giannis playing the passing lane. Or the Bucks are funneling you right into Brook Lopez. When this group is healthy, that's what's going to make them a very, very difficult out, is their defense. And as we've said before, you won the title 2 seasons ago because you had an elite playoff defense. And Giannis turned in one of the best final series we have ever seen in the 76 years of the NBA. 800-990-3776 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. So an encouraging performance tonight from Jay Crowder. We continue to see the defense, but you saw a lot more offense tonight from Jay Crowder as well. And that's going to be another key, is he is a guy you cannot leave open. You do have to respect the shooting ability of Jay Crowder. He may not be a deadly shooter, but he's hit some big shots in the postseason throughout his career, and he has the ability to be a knockdown 3-point shooter. 10 made field goals tonight for Jay Crowder, only the second time in his career he finished a game with 10 or more made field goals. So it was encouraging to see what you got from Jay Crowder. And these last couple of games, really same timeline, you've seen some encouraging things from Goran Dragic as well. Remember, the game wasn't pretty, but Goran Dragic came in and hit some late threes against the Boston Celtics. And now tonight, Goran Dragic began the game hitting his first two threes, getting loose on a couple of them, and just giving you, again, more of that versatility, more so offensively, as we've seen half-court offense be a problem at times in the postseason for this team. Goran Dragic is a guy, maybe not for extended minutes, but in limited runs, Goran Dragic is a guy that can certainly help you out in that category as well. 800-990-3776, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Again, 1 through 10 is locked in the Eastern Conference, so we wait and see which of the four play-in tournament teams is going to be the team that the Bucks draw. Hawks are going to play the Raptors, and Hawks and Heat will be that 7-8 matchup. Raptors-Bulls is going to be the 9-10. So Tuesday night in Miami, it is going to be the Heat and the Hawks. The winner of that game is who will play the Boston Celtics. The loser is who will potentially play the Bucks. Then the very next night on Wednesday in Toronto, Raptors will play the Bulls. Loser of that game is eliminated. The winner goes on to play whoever lost between the Heat and the Hawks, and that game will produce the team the Bucks will play in the first round of the playoffs. I mentioned Dallas and the story going on there. It really started just before tip-off in a game between the Mavericks and the Bulls. The story there is Dallas still not eliminated from the postseason, but they needed to win out to make the playoffs, win their final two games to have a shot at the playoffs. Well, just before tip time, we saw a massive developing story on how the Mavericks were going to approach not only that game tonight, but the rest of their season. Again, not eliminated from the postseason at the time. And then we get this. An interesting story, to say the least. We'll get you up to speed on it after this on Bucks Talk.
The Hardwood Homilies continue after this. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. You're listening to Bucks Talk.
All part of the learning curve for the rookie, getting some burn here late here tonight. Here's a turnover. Morant with a careless behind-the-back pass. Carter's going to pull up in transition, and he'll sink the three from the left wing, and the Bucks have the lead again.
Nice start to this game for the Bucks tonight, who did lead at halftime 72-71, again with a lot of firepower off the floor. No Giannis, no Jrue Holiday, no Chris Middleton, no Brooke Lopez, no Grayson Allen, no Pat Connaughton, no Joe Ingles, and no Bobby Portis. And yet the Bucks had a one-point halftime lead behind 15 made three-pointers. But things would go south in a hurry in the second half as the Memphis Grizzlies pull away in this one, 137-114. A game with no significance for the Bucks, who had already locked up the one seed. And with this win, the Grizzlies lock up the two seed in the Western Conference. 800-990-3776, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. And two games in action right now, one of those in Sacramento, where the Golden State Warriors are right now up 16 on the Sacramento Kings. You would have to assume Sacramento, having seen the results tonight, knowing they can't get to two, they're locked into three, had very little to play for with this result and this final score. We should point out, with this win, if the Warriors win this game, they had a chance to clinch a postseason or a playoff berth. So not play in, play off. However, the Pelicans won. So the Warriors approach tonight knowing if they beat the Kings and both the Pelicans and Lakers lost, the Warriors would be a top six seed. It looks like they're going to be at least halfway there, as they're up 16 midway through the third quarter. Pelicans did win, though, as they beat the Knicks, who a theme you're going to hear throughout the weekend, were playing in a game that had no significance to them. And the Lakers are currently trailing the Phoenix Suns at halftime. The East is set. We've gone over that quite a bit already. 1 through 10 is locked in. Not only who the 10 teams will be, but what order they're in. So the two first-round matchups we know are the Sixers and the Nets in your 3-6 matchup, Cavaliers and the Knicks in the 4-5, and the winner of that is who the Bucks would play in the second round, assuming they get past the 8 seed. In the West, we know the Nuggets are the 1 seed. We know the Memphis Grizzlies are the 2 seed, and at this point we know the Sacramento Kings are the 3 seed. The Phoenix Suns are the 4 seed. So those spots are all locked in as well. The Oklahoma City Thunder are going to be the 10 seed. A remarkable story for what is going on in Oklahoma City. We're going to spend some time on Sunday's show to talk about some of the awards. And I mentioned Jaren Jackson Jr. and what we saw from Triple J tonight. I know we all love Brook Lopez, and Brook Lopez may be the best rim protector in the league, but you can't dismiss Jaren Jackson Jr.'s case for Defensive Player of the Year, especially watching him in a game like this tonight with his perimeter versatility and not only the three block shots, there are a number of shots he impacted and shots that were not taken that he impacted as well just by his mere presence around the rim. So the story for the Oklahoma City Thunder, though, is a truly remarkable story in what Mark Daigneault has done with that group. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, you could make a strong case for him being a first-team All-NBA player this season. He's likely going to be second-team All-NBA, but he has been fantastic, and their young players as well. Behind Mark Daigneault and the system that they have implemented, a very, very tough scheme and style to play against for one game. They are going to be a tough draw in the play-in tournament. I would not want to play the Oklahoma City Thunder the way they play and can muck things up just for one game. You can prepare for that in a series, but in a one-game elimination-style tournament, that is not the type of team that you're going to want to face. Now, Oklahoma City is in because of what happened in Dallas. So, to bring you up to speed on that, a couple of days ago, we've continued to point out the slide the Dallas Mavericks have been experiencing here for the past couple weeks. They, of course, pushed all their chips to the center, bringing in Kyrie Irving just before the trade deadline, giving up some assets and some of their best defenders at that deadline or just in front of the deadline to make that move. A lot of people at the time questioned, what is this going to mean for a defense that's already okay at best, giving up your best defender in a guy like Dorian Finney-Smith, your best secondary creator and shot maker in Spencer Dinwiddie? Big losses for the Dallas Mavericks. They continued to hang around right around 5th, 6th, 7th for most of that run before the wheels ultimately started to fall off. And now you come into tonight knowing the math was not on the Dallas Mavericks' side. They would need to win out and get some help from the Oklahoma City Thunder, which brings you to a matchup at home against the Chicago Bulls, a Bulls team who was already locked into 10 after losing to the Bucks on Wednesday with nothing to play for. And we assumed this should be an easy win for the Dallas Mavericks to keep their season alive. Then just a couple of hours before tip-off, you started to hear some rumors and start to see some news trickle out that maybe, just maybe, the Dallas Mavericks were going to approach this game just a little bit differently. And what it all boils down to is this, and we did start to hear this chatter pick up earlier in the week. When the Dallas Mavericks made that trade with the Knicks to acquire Kristaps Porzingis a couple of years ago, there is one asset out there that they still owe New York, and that is a top 10 protected pick. You started to hear a little more chatter about this earlier in the week, questioning, well, will the Mavericks really try to miss the playoffs just to hold on to that pick, even if it's the 11th or 12th? or even if it's the 15th pick that you're giving up in this draft, will the Mavericks really risk angering Luka Doncic, possibly setting your franchise back, and setting a bad tone for the organization just to hold on to that draft pick? Well, tonight, as we found out, the answer is yes, because when the injury report was submitted, we saw Kyrie Irving listed as out, Tim Hardaway Jr. out with left ankle soreness, Josh Green, who's really started to emerge for the Mavericks, out, listed as rest, Maxi Kleba out, and Christian Wood out for rest reasons as well. Then just before tip-off, Tim McMahon of ESPN reporting the plan for the Mavericks was to play Luka Doncic in the first quarter and then shut him down not only for the game but for the rest of the regular season. In other words, read between the lines, the Mavericks wanted to finish in the bottom 10 so they could keep their draft pick. Before the game, Jason Kidd was asked about everything going on with the Mavericks in this situation. Luka Doncic just days ago said, look, I'm playing to win, and as long as we have a chance to reach the postseason, I'm playing in these games, and I'm playing to win. So naturally, when this announcement was made, or when this news and these reports started to trickle out, days after Luka Doncic said, as long as we're alive, I'm playing and I'm trying to get us into the playoffs, Jason Kidd was asked about, well, knowing Luka said this and now it appears you're headed in a different direction, what do you have to say about that? And Jason Kidd's response was, I can't speak for him, but I think when you look at it, we all said we want to have the opportunity to find a way to get in to the playoffs. And we're going to play until told otherwise. Today's the day that we've been told we're going to do something different. So he's going to participate in the first quarter, and then he's done for the season. It is not a great look. And look, we have spent so much time throughout this season opining about load management, how bad of a look it is, how bad of a look it is for fans. Tonight is a little different, where you understand, if you're a fan, I can get the frustration of coming to Fan Appreciation Night tonight and seeing, hey, Giannis is out, Drew Holiday is out, Chris Middleton is out, Brooke Lopez is out, right? Joe Ingles and Bobby Portis, all of these guys are out. It's a little different tonight when half of those were injury-related. The Bucks had already clinched the one seed, so this isn't resting guys on night two of a back-to-back in February or in November. This is, hey, let's make sure we're ready to go for the playoffs. All of the guys are still on the bench and with the team tonight. And in case you couldn't hear during the post-game show, fans were invited down onto the floor tonight. They got a chance to take some shots on the floor, saw a couple of half-court shots made. I think we saw four half-court shots made in this building tonight. Take pictures with players from the team, hang out with the entire group of players, Giannis, Thanasis, Chris, Drew, they were all down there taking pictures with fans. Prizes were given out. So tonight, a little different. But we've had this conversation about load management all season long. This is by far the worst look we have seen yet. It is one thing to rest for regular season games and do so early in the season or midway through the season, but you have a team that has a chance to get into the postseason. And it doesn't matter how bad the Mavericks have looked, how much their defense has been an issue, all the other issues we pointed to, we questioned at the time of the trade, and it appeared they came to fruition. Throw all of that aside, you still have one of the best players in the league, a transformational, a generational talent, and a talent that we have seen carry a team severely flawed onto deep postseason runs. Last year, I know you had Jalen Brunson, and that's a big difference. But Luka Doncic was a big reason why he carried the Mavericks to the conference finals a season ago. And now 1 year later, with that same player, with a franchise that could potentially be in flux in the offseason, you punt on a chance to reach the postseason when your star player indicated very, very strongly, this is not the direction I want to go. We spent so much time years ago, what, 3-4 years ago, all of the chatter was Giannis. And it was the Dallas Mavericks. It was the Mavericks. It was the Heat. It was the Toronto Raptors. All of these teams talking about Giannis. Well, Giannis isn't going to stay in Milwaukee. What reason does Giannis have to stay with the Bucks? What have they done to give him a chance to win a championship? How have they improved that team? We're better markets. We have a better history. We have the money we can throw at him. We're going to go get Giannis. That's all you heard about. This situation with the Dallas Mavericks, you can go back to the way the Bucks lost to the Raptors in the first in the conference finals. Go back to the way the bubble ended. How did the Bucks respond after the bubble? They brought in Jrue Holiday and they changed things. At the lowest points we had as Bucks fans with some of those playoff failures, it was never, never as bad as this. This is shameful. This is embarrassing for the league to have an owner as vocal as Mark Cuban is on some of these issues. He is the loudest voice in the room. To have Mark Cuban as the owner of this team that is openly punting on a chance at the playoffs and not competing is one of the more embarrassing things we have seen in years. And if you want to talk about load management and how do you make this game better for the fans, this is where you start, not with what happens in the regular season. I feel terrible for Dallas Mavericks fans that are watching Luka Doncic and want to experience another postseason berth, only for their owner to pull the rug out from under them. 800-990-3776, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Again, playoff field, the seedings, they're set in the Eastern Conference. We just wait on the play-in tournament. If you missed any of those details, we'll tell you again what those matchups will be and when in the play-in tournament after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
Wigginton uncorks a three from the right wing and connects again. Third three ball of the night for Lindell Wigginton, and the Bucks have hit 15 in the first half on 29 shots.
Want a slice. Got to roll a dice. Unfortunately, it didn't last. 15 made threes in the first half tonight for the Bucks, but it would be the Memphis Grizzlies flipping the script. Memphis went 7 of 15 on threes in the first half. 13 made threes in the second half. Bucks made those 15, as you heard. Just 6 made threes in the second half. So a reversal of events in the final 24 minutes. And it's the Memphis Grizzlies beating the Bucks tonight on Fan Appreciation Night, the final regular season game of the season. Now Sunday, the Bucks wrap up the regular season in Toronto against the Raptors. That will be a noon tip, and you can hear it right here on ESPN Milwaukee. Our pregame coverage will begin at 11:30, and after the game, we will have our final regular season version of Bucks Talk. At that point, we already know everything that's to be known in terms of seeding in the Eastern Conference. We'll know what the Western Conference looks like by the time we wrap up on Sunday. But as we mentioned at the top, 1 through 10 is locked into place in the East. Bucks, Celtics, Sixers, and Cavs. Those are the four teams, 1 through 4, that will have home court advantage in the first round. Cavs versus Knicks is your 4-5 matchup. 76ers versus Nets is the 3-6 matchup. So for the Bucks, your potential path to the finals this season is going to be one of four teams in the first round. The Heat, the Hawks, the Raptors, or the Bulls, the Cavaliers or the Knicks in the second round, and we would assume the Celtics or the 76ers in the conference finals. It is a much, much different path on the other side of the bracket, where if you're the Celtics, your first-round matchup could be the Heat, it could be the Hawks, it'll be one of those two teams. But a first-round matchup and really a path that could be potentially Miami, Philadelphia, Milwaukee is much different, all respect given to those teams we mentioned, the Cavaliers specifically. That is a much different path than what we're looking at for the Bucks, and that is why for the last few weeks we have stressed the importance of grabbing that number one seed. It's the sides of the brackets and how much it changes things. Not only having home court advantage, but avoiding having to play both of those teams. And again, we'll say it once again, I would expect one, any of those four teams, the Bucks, the Celtics, even if it was the 76ers, they would beat any of those four teams, the Heat, the Hawks, the Raptors, or the Bulls. You would take care of business in a best-of-seven series. But there is a difference between what we saw the Bucks go through last year in the Bulls and a team that you just match up well with. Maybe they take a game off of you, but it's a good matchup for you versus a team like what we saw the Boston Celtics go through last year. And I know the Celtics won that series against the Bucks, but think about the difference between the series the Bucks had with the Bulls versus the series the Celtics had with the Nets. And I understand Celtics won in a four-game sweep, and that's, I guess, what we're pointing to is this is the likely scenario. On paper, the Celtics dominated that series. When you examine the box score further, when you watch those games, it wasn't an act of domination. Kevin Durant maybe wasn't efficient, but those four games, that was the lowest combined margin of victory in a four-game sweep in NBA history. They were all four competitive games, and it really started game one on that Jason Tatum game-winning layup. Who knows? It's just like we said with the Bucks and the Heat in the first round the year the Bucks won the championship. If you don't win that game, maybe that series goes differently. And you saw a couple of those moments in that series. So those are the types of matchups you're in line for when that's what your half of the bracket looks like. The Sixers, potentially the Heat. And that's what the Bucks have a chance at avoiding. And again, the unknown is the first round matchup. We're not going to know that until Friday. The play-in tournament begins Tuesday. That's when we get our 7-8 matchups. The 9-10 games, those will come Wednesday. And then Friday is when we'll find out who the 8 seed is before the Bucks begin the postseason 1 week from Sunday. We'll wrap up the show after this, give you some final thoughts, and get you set for the final game of the regular season taking place Sunday in Toronto against the Raptors. We'll wrap things up next on Bucks Talk.
Stick around. Bucks Talk continues next. Presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Patient groups.
This is Bucks Talk.
How long can this Bucks team scrap its way to stay in the thick of this thing with this roster and lineup tonight? Beauchamp flicks the wrist. Another three. He says, we're not going anywhere yet.
Marjon Beauchamp with some nice moments in this game. Again, the biggest positives tonight for the Bucks came from Lindell Wigginton, who gave you a double-double with a team-high 25 points and handed out 11 assists. And Jay Crowder, who scored 24 points and for only the second time in his career had 10 or more field goals in a game. Jay Crowder, what he's done the last few games, is the other big positive for this Bucks team. And you've started to see more nice things from Goran Dragic as well. That coupled with the big performance we saw from Wesley Matthews down the stretch against the Bulls on Wednesday. And it does feel like, despite some of those, we hope, minor injuries starting to pick up for this team, things are starting to fall into place. And now, most importantly, we'll see how Sunday is treated. But in all likelihood, you're going to get 10 days off to rest before the postseason begins for the Bucks 1 week from Sunday. So Bucks know they're locked into 1. Raptors are locked into 9. Neither of those two teams have anything to play for. So it is going to be very, very interesting to see some of the groupings we have on the floor and how both these teams choose to treat that game Sunday afternoon. That is the final regular season game of this season. Sunday in Toronto against the Raptors. It is a noon tip-off. 11:30 is when our coverage begins, and you can hear the game right here on ESPN Milwaukee. You can also hear Bucks Talk on ESPN Milwaukee as soon as that game wraps up. One game left in the regular season, and then it's off to the playoffs. My thanks to everybody for tuning in tonight, and Max Meyerson for producing the show. Talk to you Sunday afternoon with more Bucks talk right back here on ESPN Milwaukee.